Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Are you listening? James and John, are you listening? Mrs. Zebedee, are you listening? Or maybe I should ask, do you know Jesus? Let us turn to Matthew, the 20th chapter, and follow along as I read 17 through 19. We'll see if they were really listening. Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, "Behold, we are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify, and on the third day he will rise again." Mrs. Zebedee, were you listening? I don't think so. For the mother of James and John had a request to make of Jesus. In fact, she went before him, kneeled down, and asked him this question. And this was his answer. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" And she said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right and the other on your left in your kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am able to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And what did they answer? They answered, "Yes, we are able." And Jesus said this, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father." This particular request created all sorts of problems. It sets up the situation which would be taking place in the upper room. And that was the fact that there was friction between them. The rest of the disciples did not like the idea that somebody else was going to be on the right or on the left-hand side of Jesus. And in fact, if you look at verse 24, you will read this statement. "And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers." So this gives you the setting that which Jesus had to contend with. The requests of James and John would overshadow the relationship between the 12 disciples and also of that of Jesus himself. What a way to start a communion service. Jesus knew that he had a very little time left, and he wanted to spend a little time with his disciples. He loved them very much. He longed to save them from the disappointment that they were going to go through. He so much desired to be close to them. And in fact, having the Passover meal with them was one of the highlights of the year for them. It was a time when they came aside, they didn't have the big crowd with them, they had a very close relationship, and when they were there together, he could talk with them as a small family. As you and I are a small family here, Jesus talks to us, and Jesus talked to them. He so much wanted them to not have to suffer because they did not know or did not understand. But it was not to be, because of all the conflict that was going on within their hearts. You can picture in this room Jesus with the disciples, and what was he going to do with a bunch of men which were arguing among themselves? Now, as you read the scriptures, you will find that Jesus, during this particular time, instead of looking forward to this time as he normally did not feel very good about the situation. He looked into their faces and he saw not love, but saw a competition. Who was going to be the greatest? Now, there was no question in their mind that Christ was the greatest. That was a given. But who was going to be next? Who was the next in line? Who could be the closest to him? In fact, you'll find later on, as they sat at the table, there was a conflict that was going on trying to find out who was going to sit closest to Christ and who would not. They clung stubbornly to the idea that Jesus was going to take and set up his kingdom on this earth. And that's what they looked at. And when they saw Jesus was not quite the happy Jesus that they normally were with, at first they felt sorry for him. There was sympathy among all of them toward him. But do you know that because of this infighting that they were having, they forgot to be sympathetic with Jesus, to be close to him? They were competing among themselves. There was another problem that they had also. Well, let's go back just a little bit, though, because I think there's a good statement found in Desire of Ages on page 644, where Ellen White writes this particular statement. When the disciples entered the upper room, their hearts were full of resentful feelings. Judas pressed next to Christ on the left side, John on the right. It was the highest place. Judas was determined to have it, and the place was thought to be next to Christ. And Judas was a traitor. On page 643, she makes this statement. These feelings grieved and wounded him being Jesus. There was another problem they faced. Though the preparation had been made, there was still a problem. Sometimes we need to be able to sit and think upon what was going on in this particular room. Here you have the disciples. You have Christ in the center. You have Judas on one side. You have John on the other side. And the disciples were lined along. There was one thing which was left. But it was all prepared for, except there was no servant. And that was the towel, the basin, and the pitcher. The pitcher, the basin, and the towel. They could all see it. It was there. But none of them moved toward it. And in fact, they were of such a mind at this particular point, they all ignored it. They looked the other way. They socialized together. They just talked. Just ignored the whole thing, just as if it didn't exist. This grieved Jesus very, very much. There was a pause. Jesus allowed time for them to think. But their hearts were so hard, they would not do it. They would not become the servant to others. But Jesus had come to serve. And this is also true in many churches where the feet washing is no longer done. And yet, it is part of that ceremony. But it's more than a ceremony, folks. It is a time when Jesus washes us, makes us clean. And this is what I want you to remember. When we wash each other's feet, we are made clean. And I'll bring this out a little bit farther later on. Each of the disciples, yielding to their pride, determined not to act the part of the servant. Jesus waited. No one moved. Turn to John, would you please? John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verses 4. As many times as I've opened up John 13, you think the Bible would just fall there. And follow along as I read 4 through 12. I'm going to go back to 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from the supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured the water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and you remember we've all read this part together. He came to Simon Peter and said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands, my head. Jesus said to him, he who was bathed needs only to wash his feet, and he is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. What I want to stress here in this particular verse is that going through this, where Jesus washed their feet, what did he wash? Dust off their feet? What did he wash? Were they going to be changed men after this experience? Yes, they were changed men after this experience. They would never be the same after they had gone through this experience and what God and what Jesus had done for them. The disciples understood the unspoken rebuke and saw themselves all in an altogether different light. Jesus gave them an example that they would never forget. An example that can we forget? I hope not. I hope we never forget. I hope we realize when we wash each other's feet that we are cleansed, totally cleansed, as Jesus did for the disciples. Jesus' love for them was not easily disturbed, nor was it quenched. Even though they were the way they were, with this infighting and all these things were going on, Jesus loved them so much. What about his love for you and for me? He loves us very, very much. He loves us today, and he'll love you tomorrow, and the next day, and the day after that. He gave everything for us. No, it's not easily quenched. Jesus picked up the pitcher, the basin, and the towel to more than wash those dusty feet. He washed away their pride, their self-seeking, their jealousy, their hatred that was in their hearts. Jesus' grace and the Holy Spirit are the cleansing agents, and his love for you and me is a motivating agent for each of us to follow as an example. John 13:10 says, we are clean. And yes, folks, when we wash each other's feet, we are clean. Jesus is here through the Holy Spirit. to make this time of a time of soul searching, a conviction of sin, and his blessed assurance that sins are forgiven. When you and I finish this ceremony today, when we wash each other's feet, remember, your sins are forgiven. They're washed away. They're forgiven. They're gone. It's a time when you and I should reflect and remember the wonderful things that God has done for us and the favor and the tenderness of our own earthly friends. This is all part of this family relationship with God has for us. In Patriarchs and Prophets, in Desire of Ages on page 651, it says this: the mind is energized to break down every barrier that has caused alienation. Evil thinking, evil speaking are put away. Sins are confessed. They are forgiven. Yes, sins are forgiven. The subduing grace of Christ comes into the soul, and the love of Christ draws hearts together in blessed unity. When I was in Coldwater, Michigan, many, many years ago, I was a new Adventist. I hardly knew what the communion service was or feet washing or anything about it. But within this small town and in a very small church, everybody knew everybody very, very well. They also had some characteristics that weren't very nice as well. Two men, 20 years. Two men, 20 years. Never spoke to each other. They had communion. When they came into the church, one would come in on one side and one would come in on the other. They wouldn't even look at each other. 20 years this went on. Now, I didn't know anything about this. I found out about this later on. And it came to the feet washing ceremony, and a person asked me if I would partake with them. I said, yeah, I'd be glad to. Then all of a sudden, everything stopped. Everything stopped. And I looked around. What is going on? And here were these two men. The one looked at the other. And you could feel it, folks. You could feel the dynamics which were going on here. The struggle which was going on between the Holy Spirit and Satan working on these two men. As they struggled with each other, with their pride involved, which one was going to move? Both of them were being worked on by the Holy Spirit. One of them went to say something, then the other one moved toward, and then they just fell into each other's arms. And there wasn't, and including myself, not a dry eye. 20 years, these men. 20 years. But this particular time, the Holy Spirit worked in a mighty way. These men embraced each other. And was there joy in that Coldwater church? You bet there was joy in that Coldwater church. We need to remember also, with the hearts cleansed by Christ's most precious blood, and the full consciousness of his presence, although unseen, we are to hear these words. And this is what I want you to remember, along with the forgiveness for our sins. And that is that this peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This is John 14:27. When you and I have that peace, because our sins are forgiven, our sins are washed away, our sins are gone, do we have peace? Do we? Anybody home out there? We have peace, folks. We should have peace. peace in a troubled world that we live in today. We need to remember also that the communion service points to the second coming. It is designed to keep this hope in our minds, as it was with the disciples. By love we serve one another, Galatians 5:13. The disciples recall this event in their tribulation, and they found comfort and hope in their Lord's return. By love we serve one another. And in fact, if you really think about it, it's God's motto. It's part of His personality. The Father serves us daily. Did you ever think? And I should have had Becky up here after the picture she showed us in Sabbath school of a God that has a long face, you know, and stern and so forth, instead of the God of love, one who cares. Now, if you don't believe that God cares, does He love us? You bet. When you and I get up in the morning, the breath that you and I take, when we look at the stars at night, the beauty which is there, the flowers that we see, the air that we breathe, the sunshine that comes, the snow that we get, the rain. Does God prevent the rain from falling on the evil ones or the ones that are doing wrong? No. He gives them water too. He does the same thing for them because He loves them. He loves all of us. And we should love each other. In fact, even though Christ knew what Judas was going to do, did Judas not wash his feet? Yes, he did. He washed his feet. Judas almost confessed his sin. And so many times I've thought to myself, Judas, I sure wish you had. What a tragic loss. What it must have meant to the Savior to lose one of His own. Jesus washed all their feet, and it did not in the least distract from His dignity. Can we do any less? Let us take a look at John 13:12-17. So when He had washed their feet, taking His garments, He sat down again, and He said unto them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do this as I have done to you. Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who has sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Blessed are we as we do them.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.